Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. When God speaks, things change. Everything around you, all of creation exists because God spoke it into existence. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. And in John 6, Jesus says, "The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." So they're not mere words. They are alive. God's word generates life. In fact, let me just give you a list of the things that God's word does. God's word generates life. It creates faith. It produces change. It frightens the devil. It causes miracles. It heals hurts, and it builds character. God's word transforms circumstances. It imparts joy. It overcomes adversity. It defeats temptation. It infuses hope. God's word releases power. It cleanses our mind. It brings things into being, and it guarantees our future forever. You see, we cannot live without the word of God, so never take it for granted. You should consider God's word as essential to your life as food. You see, the Bible tells us God's word is the spiritual nourishment you must have to fulfill your purpose. So let's start the feast, and let's look into God's word today for our daily hope.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, we continue in our series called 40 Days of Love with part two of a message called Love is Not Easily Angered, based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get the life-giving study DVD and study kit for this series. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 99000. And now here's Rick with today's message.
Our third president, Jefferson, used to say, he was the guy who invented the idea, when you get angry, count to 10. And he said, when you get really angry, count to 100. There's actually wisdom in that. Delay is a good factor in the longer you hold your temper, the more it improves. Now notice that verse. It says, a stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it what? Grow cool. See, this is the biblical basis for the term chill out. Okay? He said, cool it. Chill out. God says, when you start to get angry, wait and chill out. And give yourself time to think and reflect and keep it through. As I said, the longer you hold your temper, the better it improves. So delay is a great remedy. Have you noticed that you can't put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? So just wait a minute. By the way, did you know that the average man, male, speaks 25,000 words a day? The average male. The average woman... You laughing about speaks 30,000 words a day. That's why when a guy comes home at night from work and the wife comes home at work from night, she's still got 5,000 more words. She's got a surplus there to share with her loving husband. I was talking to a guy one time. I said, does it bother you that your wife always has the last word? He said, no, I'm just glad when she gets to it. I'm glad Kay's not here in the service. Delay is a great remedy to anger. Now, I'm not talking about delay for a week or a month or a year. No. In fact, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down in your anger. In other words, don't carry anger from today on to tomorrow. Because if you hold on to anger for more than 24 hours, anger turns to resentment. And resentment is always wrong. Anger is not always wrong. Bitterness is always a sin, and resentment is always a sin. So he says, you know, I'm not saying delay it and keep putting off and carry that anger in your heart for days and weeks and months and not deal with it. No. I'm saying that if you're in an argument and you both start to get real vocal about it, it's okay to say, oh, time out. Let's just take a 5-minute break, okay? Maybe you need to walk in another room or walk outside, and you let the physiological symptoms of increased blood rate and your increased heart and the adrenaline rush and all of that, and you let that kind of subside a little bit.
And then you come back and you talk when you're a little bit calmer. So the Bible tells us to reflect before reacting. Now, what do you do during the delay? Well, you try to understand your anger and you analyze it. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19:11. A wise man or a man's wisdom gives him patience. You try to understand it. You try to get some wisdom on what is ticking me off. What is irritating? What is making me feel this way? This is so important because the more you understand your anger, the more understanding you'll be. The more you understand your wife, the more understanding you'll be of your wife. The more you understand where your kid's coming from, the more understanding you'll be of your kids. The more you understand that client who's irritated with you, the more understanding you'll be with that client. The more you understand yourself and why you're all upset, the more understanding you're going to be of yourself. A man's wisdom gives him patience. So there are three questions you need to ask. Write these down. When you reflect before asking, the first question you want to ask is, why am I angry? It's a good question. Why am I angry? You need to stop and ask yourself, what is making me so upset right now? Because the problem is not the problem. The problem is the cause of the problem. The problem is not your anger. Anger is a symptom. Anger is the warning light. You need to look at what is making you angry. Why am I angry? Second question, what do I really want? What do I really want out of this argument? What is it that I'm not getting here? What is the need that's being unfulfilled in my life? What do I really want? And the third question you ask yourself when you're angry is, how can I get it? How can I get what I need, what I want that's irritating me right now? And I guarantee you, blowing up and losing your cool and, you know, rolling into a rage or whatever is not the best way to do it. It's rarely the best way to get what you want. While you're doing this, if you reflect before reacting, you can figure out which of the three root causes is causing your anger. Every time you get angry in your life, it's always one of these three things. Always.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said that of all the commandments in the Bible, two are most important. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. When you do this, you end up obeying the rest of God's commandments, and all the relationships in your life, even the difficult ones, get so much better. To help you do this, Pastor Rick wants to send you the 40 Days of Love study kit, which includes a 6-session DVD and a study guide. In this video series, Rick teaches you how to make loving God and loving others the central focus in your life. He shares practical, Christ-centered advice on how to authentically love God and love your neighbor as a normal way of life. When you learn to focus on the spiritual principles of patience, kindness, truth, and forgiveness, love will become your dominant life value. Please let us send you the 40 Days of Love study kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick with two R's in the middle, .com. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Rick.
Every time you get angry, there are three root causes: hurt, frustration, and fear. Hurt, frustration, and fear. The first thing that causes you to get angry is hurt. When you get hurt, physically hurt, emotionally hurt, when you get wounded, the natural human response to hurt is to get angry. If I'm out and I'm nailing a nail into some wood and I hit my thumb with my hammer, my natural reaction is not grief, oh, I'm grieving over this thumb. My natural reaction is anger. And who am I angry at? Me, for hitting my thumb. Or I may blame the hammer. okay, and throw the hammer away like some guys blame their golf clubs and throw them up in the air like it was the golf club's fault, you know, instead of accepting responsibility. But when you hurt, when you get hurt, you instinctively get angry. Okay? And that's emotionally hurt or it's physically hurt. You just need to understand that. The second thing that causes you to get angry is frustration. And frustration is when you get irritated and you're thwarted toward a goal. When you're forced to wait, like you're having to wait for something in a traffic jam and you don't want to wait. Or maybe nothing is working and you're trying to make something happen. You're trying to reach a goal and nothing works. That's frustrating. You start to get angry. When what I'm saying here is the second cause of this frustration is caused when you feel out of control. Whenever you feel out of control, you tend to get angry. In fact, the more out of control you feel, the more angry you're going to be. High control people are high angry people. If you don't have a high need to control things, you're probably not needing this message. You got other problems you have to deal with. But this one here, if you're a low control person, you probably just don't get upset that much. But the greater your need to control, the more you're going to realize most of my life is out of my control. You know, all of the things that matter most in your life are out of your control. You didn't choose where you were born, where you're going to die, who your parents were, what your natural giftedness was. There are a lot of things that make you you that you had no control over. And when you feel out of control, then you start feeling frustrated. Any parent has known the feeling with that first baby, and you can't get that baby to stop crying. And you feel helpless and hopeless. And what starts to well up in you? Anger. Why won't you be quiet? I can't make this baby be quiet. And then you start feeling guilty for your anger toward the baby. Because the baby's not doing anything, it's just doing what babies do. Frustration. Trying to get kids to obey and they won't obey. Hurt, frustration, and the third cause of anger is fear. And that is whenever you feel threatened. Whenever you feel trapped. Whenever you feel attacked. Whenever you feel afraid. Anger and insecurity always go together. And the more insecure you are in life, the more prone to anger you're going to be in life. And when you base your feelings about yourself on what other people think about you, you're going to get angry all the time. Because when they don't meet your needs or when they say things that are unkind or they don't respond the way you expect them to respond, or they're not as appreciative as you think they ought to be for that meal you cooked or that deal you signed or the house you just bought or whatever, and you don't feel appreciated, you're going to get angry. Why? You're looking to other people to meet needs in your life only God can meet. Every time you look to somebody in your life to meet a need that only God can meet, you are setting yourself up for anger. Because nobody can play God in your life. Nobody can meet all your physical needs, sexual needs, financial needs, mental needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs. Nobody can do that because they're all imperfect. And so when you look to somebody to meet all your needs, you're going to be an angry person all of your life. You're going to be disappointed and you're going to be angry. Every time you get angry, it's hurt, frustration, or insecurity. Now, this is so important because when somebody gets angry at you, try to look beyond the anger and see which of these things are they feeling. Because if somebody gets angry at you, your response is to get angry back. We're not very sympathetic with anger. Somebody gets angry at me, my natural reaction is to get defensive. But if somebody comes and says, "What you said hurt me," hurt is a whole lot easier to deal with than anger. We're much more sympathetic to hurt. And if my wife comes to me and says, "I'm angry at you," I want to get angry back. If she comes to me and says, "I was hurt by you," I want to go, "Oh, well, let me think about that. I'm sorry." Or if somebody says, "I was frustrated by this," or "This made me feel insecure." Okay? Guys, if your wife comes to you and says, "You know what? The way you look at other women, it hurts me, it frustrates me, and it makes me feel insecure," That's a whole lot better than just having to be angry and you can't figure out why they're angry. You need to listen to what's behind the anger. Does that make sense? And that only happens if you reflect before reacting. So you stop and go, okay, I don't want to blow it. I know I can manage my anger. I resolve to manage. I'm going to remember the cost. I always lose when I lose my temper. So let me reflect before reacting. Why am I angry? What do I really want? How can I get it? And is it frustration? Is it hurt? Is it fear? And then here's what you pray. Look at this next verse. Psalm 141:3. Lord, help me control my tongue. Help me to be careful about what I say. You know, some of these verses are so good, you need to write them on little cards and memorize them this week. This is a week for multiple memory verses. Because when you're angry, if you don't know the verse, it's not helpful. Well, I know Rick talked about anger sometime a long time ago. But if you write them on a little card, you keep them in your wallet, your purse, or in your car, then you can learn them. And then when it comes, you start to get angry, God can bring those verses to mind and help you. By the way, do you know what is the number one cause of reacting before reflecting? Of not thinking through what you're going to say before you say it? You know what's the number one cause? Alcohol. Alcohol. It removes all your inhibitions, and you don't think, and you do stuff you'd never do if you weren't drunk. Look at this next verse. The Bible says, drinking too much makes you loud and foolish. It's stupid to get drunk. Unless you're a country western guy, I'm going to write songs about it. Okay? But, you know, it's all my rowdy friends, you know? But, you know, how many of those drinking songs talk about the stupidity of getting drunk? Because people do things they would never do when they don't reflect before reacting. And here's the fourth step. Fourth step in learning to tame your temper. Release my anger appropriately. Release my anger appropriately. As I said, there is a right way and there is a wrong way to express anger. There is appropriate and there is an inappropriate way to do it. There's a helpful and there's a harmful way. There's a sinful way and a non-sinful way. If anger was a sin, then God's a sinner because God gets angry. God gets angry when he sees a rape. God gets angry when he sees child abuse. God gets angry when he sees poor people ignored by rich people. God gets angry when he sees racial prejudice. God gets angry when he sees people ripping off each other and people being unfaithful to their husband or their wife. There are a lot of things in the world that are flat out evil, and you ought to get angry about those things. So anger's not a sin, but I must release my anger appropriately. Now, the Bible says this in Ephesians 4:26. If you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin. In other words, there's one way to do it. That's not, you can get angry and still not sin. And there's another way that if you do it, it's definitely wrong. It's all in how you release it. And most people express their anger in ways that actually leads them further away from their goal rather than closer to it. Now, here's a myth that you need to understand. A lot of pop psychology teaches us it's just wrong. It's just not true. And the idea is this, that everybody has this bucket of anger. And what you need to do is periodically, you just need to get it off your chest and you just need to pour out all your anger and you just need to explode, express, decompress, blah, you know, emotionally vomit on somebody and get it all out. Then your bucket's empty and you'll be good. So they'll say, it's good for you to express your anger because otherwise you're just stuffing it down because you got to empty that bucket. And there are entire systems of psychology, like primal scream that says, you know, if you just scream enough, well, then it'll all that rage that you had from a kid will all be gone. There's only one problem with it. It doesn't work. I hate to tell you this, but you don't have a bucket in your heart of anger. You got a factory. You got a factory. And it can produce, and there's plenty more of where that came from. And study after study and research has shown that aggression only produces more aggression. And anger only produces more anger. And flying off the handle makes you more likely to do it the next time. that it becomes a habit, a perpetual pattern, and that it produces more, that anger, getting anger off your chest doesn't reduce it. It actually sets you up to create more. Notice what the Bible says. Psalm 15, verse 1. A gentle answer quiets anger, but a harsh one stirs it up. Now, we all know this. You know, have you ever noticed that if you talk loud, the person next to you talks loud back? And the louder you get, the louder they get. And it just gets, and it escalates. And so if you want to de-escalate anger in your relationship, in your marriage or friendship or whatever, you talk low and slow. Not loud and fast, low and slow. Low and slow. And when you, a gentle answer turns away wrath. It quiets anger. Whose anger does it quiet? Well, first it quiets your own. When you talk loud, it makes you angrier. When you talk low and slow, it makes you calmer before it even starts working on them.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. Be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. That's PastorRick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment with a closing thought. But just before that, let me ask you, is it possible to love the people in your life any more than you already do? Pastor Rick says it is. But it's not about trying harder or willing yourself to love more. It's about discovering what God says about love in His Word. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
Jesus says that the two most important things you can do while you're here on earth are to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, life is all about love. Now, as believers, it's not just enough to talk about love or to read about love or to discuss love. We must show it. We must exhibit it by the way we treat other people. Now, the Bible says that we do this. We learn to be genuinely loving people by relying on the love that God has for us. That's why I've put together a 6-session study kit called 40 Days of Love. It includes a study guide and a 6-session DVD that will teach you the habits of a loving heart. Now, you can go through it by yourself, but really, how are you going to learn to love by yourself? You need to do it in a small group with 2 or 3 friends or even more. Just get some friends and some neighbors and say, let's learn how to really love. And let's study this together for 40 days. Now, 40 Days of Love is going to teach you why love matters most, more than anything else. And it's going to teach you what the Bible means when it says that love is patient and love is kind and love speaks the truth. Love keeps no record of wrongs. That love is forgiving. Now, I want to tell you something. This is a life-changing study. It changed my life when I did it. And it's going to change your life and those that you share it with. And if you really want to grow spiritually, you've got to learn how to love. Now, this month, we're offering the 40 Days of Love Study Kit for a financial gift to Daily Hope Ministries. I want everybody to be able to enjoy this study, so all I ask is that you help support Daily Hope Ministries. Now, I know some of you can afford a little bit more than others, and I appreciate that. It helps us keep on the air and helps us spread the message to other stations. But some of you, you're going through tough times and you don't have a whole lot. That's okay. I know you work hard for what you earn. I promise that whatever you give, no matter how large or small, that every cent that you send in to support Daily Hope goes right back into the ministry. I do this ministry for free. I take no money from it. And so you can be certain that any gift you give is helping spread the hope we have in Christ here at home and even all around the world. Now, thanks for listening today, and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004, or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com. There's only 2 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.